Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
For example, we've heard about the photograph. He could have put it on the desk himself. We don't know. We can accept his word, but why is a credibility determination taken when you haven't heard both sides of the story?
Mayor, can I make a quick comment?
I'm going to finish my statement, sir. It's no point to arguing every little point together,
well,
sir.
I know you interrupt me to do mine all the time, so I'd just like to...
Is it okay if I have a chance to
you
speak
sure
now?
Can?
Would you please respect
can
me
you,
tonight, sir?
Can you keep order?
Can you respect me tonight, sir? I know it's difficult for you.
Well, yeah, difficult for you.
Yes, it is. It is difficult.
Yeah, difficult for you.
And if I could have some order...
Can I talk? It's difficult for me to respect me, for you to respect me, to make my point, to be civil, to wait. Mayor Heather Lindsay, in the middle of this meeting yesterday, which is about a three and a half hour exercise in not silliness, it's a serious matter, firing the city clerk. But oh my God, she starts to talking when she's going to take her time to make her point about what she thinks ought to be done with Don Molinaro. After, as you heard, you know, a little bit of background there from David, that, you know, a complaint filed by Ed Spears, a hostile work environment, also, you know, exceeding her authority, indicating that she at least had done things that she thought might justify her firing, although she disagreed, but she could see that in some of the things that she's written, and alleging corruption and making charges against a fellow city, you know, other city council employees or city employees and city council members, and all of that, the totality of which Alex Andrade put together in a 16-page report on Friday recommending her to be fired, added to the agenda last night. They're going to have a conversation about it. In the middle, Mayor Lindsay's going to take her time to talk. Oh, and she did.
There is so much more to this story that I'm not telling tonight. Yeah. There have been so many lies told. There's been a lot of forgiveness that we've tried to give to each other. There's a lot of trust we don't have to each other. I thought Mr. Snow and I had made a lot of progress in February. I thought we had a good place that we had reached. And there's so much in the past. From the past comes back when I realize I was wrong to forgive. So I'm going to go back to my statement, and you can argue with every little bit of it because you'll be recognized to do so,
sir. You may not remember the backstory here, but, you know, she had been removed from being the head of, I think it was the executive committee meetings, because they thought that she was too troublesome about that and was creating too much controversy and lecturing everybody all the time about how they should behave. And they were right. And they took her off, and then Jeff Snow basically gave her an olive branch earlier this year and said, no, it's okay, you can come back and run these meetings. I'm just saying, I like Jeff Snow, but he's 0 for 2. Letting Mike Cusack be involved in the negotiation with Scott Collins, that turned into a catastrophe. And letting Mayor Lindsay, now she would have run this meeting, so couldn't stop that, but letting her back in to run the other meetings, I think that was probably a mistake. So she gives this speech in which she alleges that Ed Spears is fabricating claims. What? She makes this argument later on that, you know, Randy lied about everything.
When people are willing to be honest and accountable, trust can be rebuilt.
Randy Jorgensen,
the problem
city manager.
Is not everybody's willing to be honest and accountable. This is my experience. I know because I have been lied to multiple times by the city manager. And I'm not going to get into all those details, but if someone ever wants the whole story, I will tell them.
Oh, he's totally lying to me all the time, but I don't need to tell you the facts. This is a great thing. She says that he lied because he was mentoring Ed Spears, which was obvious that he was. I mean, I think everybody saw that he thought that was the case, but that doesn't mean that he was then involved in the selection process and trying to bias it in favor of Ed.
Mr. Jorgensen, for example, lied when he told me that he wasn't involved in the search, in the effort to replace the city manager to fill that position. Yes, he was. He was mentoring Mr. Spears all along. No wonder he's upset. Mr. Spears, of course, is upset.
Yeah, but that's not the same as interfering in the process. That's a natural thing for anybody to do, especially somebody who himself came from being, what, a director within the city and promoted because they fired the last city manager before him. You're thinking about succession plans in the future, and you can't mentor somebody who's not in the organization yet. I mean, that's a bizarre argument to make. Oh, and by the way, what's a typical amount of time that somebody will talk in a meeting like this who's a, you know, say the mayor, she's going to have her say in this 3.5-hour meeting. What's a typical, what would you figure? Maybe she's going to 3-4 minutes?
Yeah,
5 minutes?
Sure, yeah.
22 minutes.
No.
22 minutes.
Dude, that's painful even if you're at a concert and it's interesting.
Uninterrupted, self-justifying, twisting of information, just all about her and about Randy and just, even down to like, remember the thing about how they didn't want Ed Spears' Excel spreadsheet because they were worried that he would hide a secret formula
right,
in there.
Yeah.
Which I love the part about how I'm smart enough at math to figure out how to make an Excel spreadsheet game the results. I can't do that, y'all. I'm not good at math. Everybody knows that.
I wouldn't consider that public knowledge personally. I don't know.
That's not, okay.
That's not even the point. Right about that. So, oh my goodness, we'll come back to this. There's more, trust me. But Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Roads are fine. 437-1620. I'm seriously not showing any delays. If you have traffic tips, you can text them in at 437-1620. But everything is running clear right now. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Go on.
And this is listen. I'll finish this up in just a second. In the meanwhile, let me tell you about my good friends over at Peden Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical and Plumbing. They will take care
save
of
your
you.
Lives.
They are fantastic. They stand by their work, 100% satisfaction guarantee, whatever the work you need done is. And right now they have back to school specials. So right now we have, typically if you get an HVAC system or a water heater or electrical panels or generators installed, there's the price plus a service fee of $89. They're waiving the service fee right now and a 5% discount on the price. That's a pretty sweet deal, especially as we're just about getting ready to do the hot and heavy portion of hurricane season. Back to school offer there for that. Also, the Emax Auto Booster, 40% more hot water from your existing electric tank. Customers get 50% off Emax Auto Booster with the install of any 40 or 50 gallon electric water heater. Free inspections, and you can clean out with the sewer repipe, and then also buy one, get one toilet rebuilds and 15% off maintenance. And sign up for the Peden Smart Care Membership Maintenance Plan, which gets you routine maintenance for $35 a month, and you get priority scheduling over non-members if there's a lot of demand, 15% discount on repairs or upgrades, and a 5% discount on major replacements, and after-hours emergency service fees are waived. Find out more at Peden, PEDEN.com. Okay, so back to Mayor Lindsay's 22-minute soliloquy last night, in which she's attacking everybody. It's burn the house down if she can do it to protect her friend Dawn Molinaro, and, I mean, I think in some ways protecting herself here, but okay, here goes.
There are people who have left this employment who told me they felt bullied by Mr. Jorgensen, okay? Did I bring these names up to Mr. Andrade? No, I didn't. I'll tell you why. Mr. Andrade interrogated me about that last November, and I didn't feel comfortable because I didn't know what he was going to do with the information. And I assured him, these employees are no longer employees. This information came to me after they left employment. It's not as if there needs to be an investigation at this point, right? They're no longer with us. And they didn't want their names bandied about. And can you understand why? I think I can. So they weren't employees at the time. So when Mr. Andrade demanded the details, I respectfully declined.
You know how sometimes people say a thing that they think is going to defend them, but it actually winds up really creating a basis of criticizing them? Kind of like how, you know, some of the stuff that had gotten said by Mike Cusack in his text messages to Scott really raised more questions than it solved, and it really made him look bad, even though he thought he was defending himself. So you're telling me that there are complaints filed by employees or even former employees about feeling harassed by the city manager, and you didn't investigate those? You didn't follow up on that? That's bad. Now, she thinks that's a way of attacking Randy. I think that's evidence that, what are you doing? Because later in the meeting, Alex Andrade made the point that he didn't think that counsel is taking allegations seriously enough.
As I note in this report, it's incredibly inappropriate. Mm-hmm. It's incredibly inappropriate how frivolously employee grievances are being taken by this counsel right now.
And she had previously said, well, I didn't trust you enough to do the investigation, so I just kept all this to myself. And she's made other claims in other meetings about anonymous complaints by people that she won't. You can't ignore those complaints and problems. They're either fabricated, in which case they're, you know, slander slash libel, depending on print or spoken, or they're serious, in which case you need to take action. And then she was criticized. I mean, like, the more she talked, the worse it got for her last night. She's telling Alex that he shouldn't have been conducting this review and that he wasn't following the right process.
What I would like to know is why the city attorney was in the position of investigating matters related to his own actions. He used part of this report to defend himself, and he has every right to defend himself. But it shouldn't be mixed in with this. I just don't know whether Mr. Andrade is the city's lawyer, his own lawyer, or Mr. Spears' lawyer. He's concluded certain things are credible.
Mayor, do you not recall submitting memos to me in December and November of last year where you spelled out the process of investigating complaints like these and said they should be handled by the HR director or the city attorney? If you don't remember, I can provide them to you.
Thank you for letting me know. Regardless of whatever my emails were, and I can promise y'all, I've made suggestions over the years that are usually ignored and dismissed by Mr. Jorgensen and Mr. Andrade.
Wait. I've made suggestions over the years, and you all don't follow them. But in this case, he's saying, you made a suggestion, I did follow it. In case you don't remember, I have the emails to prove this. And her response is, well, you never listen to me. I can't believe you listen to me in this case.
So, whatever.
It's kind of amazing. Alex Andrade, he explains that he did want to make an investigation of the claims against Randy Jorgensen because that'd be a serious matter, both to vindicate him or to find that he had done anything wrong.
For counsel's edification, the mayor submitted multiple memos in October and November of last year and December of last year to me regarding anonymous complaints she wanted to call a special meeting about related to Mr. Jorgensen. I reminded her of the state statute regarding confidentiality protecting the subject of those complaints as well as the complainant and asked repeatedly to allow me to investigate them confidentially per the state statute. Ms. Mayor Lindsay's December 9th, 2022 memorandum to me regarding how investigations like these should be conducted or complaints of potential ethical issues, if made to the city attorney, the investigation should proceed in a manner consistent with the applicable law and the Florida Bar's rules applicable to the city attorney's duty to the client, which is exactly what I did, Mayor. I followed your instructions and guidance, and I will remind you that there was a complaint from a member of the public against Mr. Jorgensen, and you were so concerned about the public perception of FIAS at that time, you tried to delegate it to another member of the city council.
I don't even know what to say. So they went ahead with the vote. How about we end the summary of the fact pattern? You heard David talking about this top of the hour. They went ahead with the vote, and they voted 5-3 to fire Don Molinaro. Now, I really appreciate Sandy Woodbury, the grants director, who said earlier that she thought that Don was trying to do the right thing and just got caught up in doing some things she shouldn't have done. I actually think that, too. I've had good interactions with Don. I just think she got very outside of her lane and did a lot of stuff she really shouldn't have done. And I think it was justified to terminate her. Okay. It's a sad thing all around. Okay. It really is. But the workplace hostility had become horrible. I think that people were hating to show up for their jobs and something had to be done to change it. And Gavin Hawthorne was the vote that switched from last week to this week. He voted 4-4 last week, tie broken by Mayor Heather Lindsay, 5-3 this week. So you had Hawthorne and, Roxanne Meese and Jeff Snow and Casey Powell and who am I forgetting? Forgetting one more. Who all voted? Jason Vance voted against. But they all voted. Oh, and Matt Jarrett all voted for it. And then Mike Cusack and Marilyn Farrow and Jason Vance voted against 5-3, and they terminated her last night. And that's it. Again, there's so much. We've been talking about this all day, but this is one step towards making things, I would say, better, but I don't know, because the drama is still the fighting and the bickering and 22 minutes of self-justification and bizarre allegations and an unwillingness to accept the facts as presented by the city attorney. So I don't know what happens from here, but that is, for the moment, your daily update from the city of Milton. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life. with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
At different times in our lives, we all have problems. Health problems, financial problems, relationship problems. But at no point are any of these problems our biggest problem. The biggest problem facing mankind is the sin problem. When Jesus came to the earth, he didn't solve everyone's health troubles, although he did help a few. He didn't solve everyone's financial trouble, although he did provide food for some. He didn't solve everyone's relationship problems, although a few were helped in that way. But when Jesus came to the earth, he did solve the problem of sin for everyone. He died a substitutionary death in your place and in mine. All we have to do is call upon him for salvation. Jesus is the greatest problem solver in human history.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Tomorrow at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel, join Mike Dyson, the owner of Anytime Fitness on North 9th Avenue, to learn how you can have a gym membership that fits your life. From convenience, training, and tools, community, and support, Anytime Fitness is here to help you meet your fitness goals. The friendly staff will help get you started with a customized plan. Listen tomorrow at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 620.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Never miss a breaking news story or important weather update again. Download the News Radio Pensacola app and opt in for push notifications.
If Mr. Bright here told you to vote Republican, would you do it?
No, sir. I don't vote Republican or Democrat. Choosing is a sin, so I always just write in the Lord's name.
News Radio 92.3. It's 3.5 hours I watched that meeting last night while I was trying to do other work, and you know, there you go. That's my my life. Whatever. You know, if you weren't listening to the show earlier, that was Mike Cusack's response to the clear, lucid, and well-explained reasons for Alex Andrade to prove to him that he was wrong. Whatever.
Whatever.
Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Whatever. As we take a look at our roads, good news is we don't have to say whatever because it looks like a clear way of getting where you're going this morning. 98, again, clear of pretty much all the way through from Navarre into Gulf Breeze into Pensacola, into Alabama. Not showing any problems downtown. Watch for your usual areas of congestion and construction. If you have traffic tips, text them in 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Yeah, David Wayne, you're killing me. David Wayne, he's in the newsroom.
Whatever.
More allegations surfacing against pop star Lizzo this week. Three of her former dancers filed a lawsuit against her earlier this month on accusations of sexual harassment, weight shaming, and creating a hostile work environment. I feel like I've heard that before this morning. This week, lawyers for the dancers say they were reviewing new complaints from six other people that toured with Lizzo. Wow. The singer's representatives have not commented on the allegations. Virgin Galactic set to launch its second commercial space flight today.
Hopefully, this will inspire other people as well to go beyond these fears that's holding them back from the dreams that they have tucked in their little side drawer. Conquer your fears and go get them.
And that is flight passenger Keisha Shayhoff, and she's part of the first mother-daughter duo to make the trip. They apparently won their seats in a Virgin Galactic competition that was aimed at sending more diverse humans to space. The other passenger is an 80-year-old former Olympian that bought his ticket for $250,000.
That one woman, she sounds like a little old lady trapped in the body of a 40-year-old mom. Like, she's a, you know,
yeah, yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
She's so cute. I love her.
Freaky Wednesday.
She's great.
Yeah. Whatever.
I'm not good at math, y'all. I'm just... Yeah, it's so entertaining. It's terrible, though. I mean, it's real life, and people and investors pulling out of the city because of this, and employees don't want to come to work, so it's serious stuff.
The mayor will be on next.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Wildfires rage across Hawaii, fueled by wind gusts up to 70 miles per hour from Hurricane Dora, which is passing south of the islands by more than 500 miles.
Power is important in both areas because it affects our ability to pump water, to get water to people, so that's also... while we're asking people to conserve water until we can get power back online.
Maui County Mayor Richard Bisson, remembering the people who perished in Nagasaki. 78 years ago today, the second bomb dropped on Japan by U.S. forces, killing more than 70,000 people. The U.S. dropped the world's first atomic bomb in Hiroshima on August 6, 1945, destroying the people, killing 140,000. Japan surrendered on August 15th. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31. News Radio 92.3. It's 83 degrees right now in Pensacola. Already seeing those triple-digit heat indexes. We'll get more on that with Channel 3 here in just a couple of minutes. Investigation continuing today after a drive-by shooting last night. This happened in the Bellevue area just after 8 o'clock around Ben Sasser Drive and Moore Avenue. And deputies say somebody in a truck opened fire and began shooting. It appears so far that nobody was hurt. Shortly after the shots fired call, though, a responding deputy was involved in an accident on Patricia Drive. FHP says the deputy was trying to pass traffic on his way to the scene when a pickup truck was making a left turn into a driveway. The two vehicles collided. Both drivers did suffer minor injuries. The deputy was taken to the hospital by EMS, and the pickup truck driver was cited for failure to move over for an emergency vehicle. Milton City Clerk fired. This after another dramatic city council meeting yesterday.
Florida is an at-will state, which means an employer may fire, demote, hire, promote, discipline employees for pretty much any reason or no reason at all. Well, we've got lots of reasons. And, you know, so I'm voting yes to do this. I don't appreciate what she said about everybody in the paper that was not true, that she's embarrassed us.
Milton City Councilwoman Roxanne Meese, and this coming after allegations from Milton's City Economic Development Director Ed Spears, who alleged that Don Molinaro overstepped her authority as city clerk, abused employees, and created a hostile work environment. City Attorney Alex Andrade investigated and did recommend firing Molinaro. Molinaro was not present at the meeting. She was reportedly out of town for a family emergency. Body found in Walton County has now been identified as a homeless woman from Indiana. The Walton County Sheriff's Office says the body of 41-year-old Renee Eggers was found in a wooded area. This was near the Okaloosa-Walton County line last week. Deputies say they believe the woman was homeless at the time she died. Her family has now been notified, and so far there's no word on the woman's cause of death. That incident is still under investigation. Residents in Gulf Breeze have been complaining about a tough parking situation at Shoreline Park. Some people say they've been unable to use the waterfront dog park that their tax dollars pay for because the demand for parking at the boat ramp has filled up all the spaces at the dog park, too. City Manager Sam Abel says they're looking now at charging for parking to help the situation.
It will start in September, and so we'll be spending the rest of this month letting our residents know that they need to make sure to go online and register and get that decal.
And Abel says it won't cost a whole lot for the first half hour. Parking will be free, $1 an hour after that, up to $10 for a full day. That change taking effect next month. And city residents will be able to apply for a decal so they can park for free. Life in prison for a J-man that sexually assaulted an 8-year-old girl in January of 2020. Michael Rasmussen was convicted and sentenced on the same day late last month. Prosecutors say the young girl had been left in Rasmussen's care while her mother was at work. The Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office conducted that investigation. Last week, the state attorney general was in town. She announced that Northwest Florida had double the overdose deaths of any other part of the state of Florida. Local law enforcement have been reacting to the tragic news. We heard from Sheriff Bob Johnson earlier this week, and Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons says fentanyl laced with xylazine, or Trank, as it's known on the streets, is not something that should be experimented with.
One pill can kill you. A lot of times people think, oh, I've got to overdose on a certain drug. Yeah. You know, historically, if it's whether it's cocaine or methamphetamine or heroin or whatever, you think, oh, you took too much. Well, in today's environment, you can take one pill. You know, so even if you're thinking about experimenting and trying one or trying it once, then that you need to understand that what you're taking could end up killing you.
And Simmons says he talked with Ashley Moody last week. He says the Trank ingredient that's being added to fentanyl also makes it resistant to Narcan. 735 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Candy, what are you seeing?
Looks like everything is running smoothly. I was listening to that Trank story. It's so weird. Taking a look around. Good news is we're not showing any of these slowdowns or delays. As I mentioned earlier, 98 accident-free, not showing any problems on I-10 or 110. Pine Forest looking good. 9 Mile Road also not showing any delays. Watch for your usual areas of congestion and construction. If you have traffic tips, text them in, 437-1620. We'll be joined by Mayor of Pensacola, D.C. Reeves, here shortly. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Another hot day today with temperatures warming up near 95 degrees, feeling more like the triple digits with a 30% chance of a stray shower. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 82. Heat continues for your Thursday with a high near 96, still feeling much warmer with a 20% chance of rain. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 82. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
It's 83 in Pensacola, 83 in Gulf Breeze, and 78 in Milton. Our next news at 8, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Dom Savino with Your Money Now. Target is like a lot of retailers, needing a jolt as consumers spend less on t-shirts and more on travel. Well, it's got a plan to get a boost, adding Starbucks drinks and food to the long list of items eligible for curbside pickup. Target says it will start rolling out that offer this summer, and by October, the big box retailer expects the feature to be available at all of the 1,700 locations that have both the Starbucks and curbside pickup. Kellogg's is splitting itself in two. The company is dividing its food empire into two businesses. One will be the new version of the Kellogg Company, which will house its cereal business. The second company will be a new one called Kellanova. It'll house the snacks business, items like Pringles, Cheez-Its, and Pop-Tarts. On Wall Street, about an hour to the open, and futures are higher as the market tries to shake off yesterday's losses of about 0.5%. That's Your Money Now.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. From our spectacular beaches to the miles of rivers and unspoiled forests, the Gulf Coast offers some of the best family adventure around. And the Subaru Crosstrek and Subaru Forester are the perfect family vehicles to explore every dune and unpaved trail in Northwest Florida. Both come standard with sure-footed symmetrical all-wheel drive to take you deep into the wild places you love. The Crosstrek is powered by 182 horsepower Subaru Boxer engine that adds plenty of go to any adventure, and the Forester boasts 9.2 inches of ground clearance to get you through every wilderness challenge. There's more than enough room for your gear and plenty of options to make the Crosstrek or Forester fit your lifestyle. In a Subaru, the destination is the journey, so grab the kids and the dog and follow your own path to adventure. Love is out there at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. We have a team of experienced broadcast experts who are dedicated to keeping you informed about the latest weather conditions and forecasts. We'll provide you with up-to-the-minute updates on any developing storms, as well as safety tips and information on how to prepare for a hurricane. So for the latest hurricane coverage, stay tuned to News Radio Pensacola on AM 1620, 92.3, 95.3, and on HD Radio at 98.7. We'll keep you safe.
Good morning, 740 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Happy Wednesday! Happy Wednesday. It's going to be sunny and hot today. Yay. what did we get? 8 minutes of rain yesterday? Intense 8 minutes of rain yesterday.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Mayor.
Just enough to make the road look weird. D.C. Reeves is the mayor of Pensacola. He joins us now by phone. Hey, Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. Good to have you. Couple of things I want to make sure that we get to with you. One is next week's city council agenda, you guys are going to have a conversation about the active transportation plan. I will tell you, I have not read it. This is one of the big, long reports that I have not had a chance to read yet. So maybe tell people like what this is all about, what you're trying to accomplish, and maybe some of the key takeaway. I mean, I know what I understand the ATP to be trying to accomplish, but, you know, this is more your baby, so maybe you help people understand it.
Yeah, and really, as a matter of fact, I'm pretty aligned with these types of tactics philosophically, but this is a process that was funded by council prior to my administration. So about, somewhere in the high ones, maybe a little north south of $200,000, all-city study on active transportation, and that's let's assess where we are in bikeability, walkability, where are our greatest areas of need. You know, you're overlaying traffic crash data, bicyclist crash data, et cetera. So, but it's a holistic look at the city. It's not necessarily just one zip code or one council district. It's one for the entire city of Pensacola. So I've read through it, and it identifies, you know, areas that are in a greater need than others. And so it's definitely an interesting document. I mean, and certainly valuable to have as you start to make decisions about sidewalks, about if there's going to be road diets, if there's going to be bike lanes, et cetera. So, considering some of the ones they're working on right now that I have a really big focus on, namely Bayfront Parkway, is considered one of the greatest needs. So coincidental, but you know, we had a pretty good hunch that trying to connect people along Bayfront Parkway right now would be one of the bigger needs. So we'll use that as a guiding document for us moving ahead.
Yeah, when you say identified needs, and again, I apologize, I haven't read the study yet, but it seems like if you looked at any traffic / pedestrian, bicycle, you know, any area of infrastructure in the city or anywhere in the United States, you could find problems depending on which value set you bring to the data you're looking at. And so what I'm wondering is, when they identify a problem, quote unquote, what are the kinds of problems that they're looking at? I assume it's not just safety issues, but it's traffic flow and it's accommodating pedestrians and it's kind of all of that. Is that right?
Correct. Again, you're looking at historical data where there's been traffic, bicyclist, pedestrian accidents, hit and runs, which means, you know, typically you're seeing more activity there. Unfortunately, that also means that there's more people walking there. I think you look at some of the census tracts as well, in terms of who are people that are walking and biking to work, you know, where it's their primary mode of transportation as opposed to a car, area, things like that. So there's a lot of different, it's a robust document. There's a lot of different overlays as to, to your point, there might be, you know, there's one page that kind of addresses this and where the need is across the city. And then, you know, and then you kind of cross tabs with some other things as well. So, you'll have to, dig into it, but it's a wealth of information. And so it does not come back with just a clear two-step, three-step thing, right? Do this, do this, do this. It identifies the greater areas of need. Not necessarily that one is higher than the other, but again, gives you some action steps and makes you at least have some confidence if you're going to be investing hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars into a project or asking FDOT to do so, that you're doing it in a place that, that would have need.
Okay, so maybe a different way to say it is, man, it sure would be nice to have nice, pretty streets with bike lanes and sidewalks and traffic safety and flow management that made everybody happy all of the time, everywhere in the city. That's a pipe dream. So the question is, where Correct. Are the biggest gaps between how we can make that happen and what we already have? Is that maybe a fair way to say it?
Yeah, that's a fair way to say it, including in saying, where will we extract the most value?
I mean, right.
Look at it from the mayor's seat. I would say, hey, if I had $1 million sitting around right now, where could we have the greatest impact of that $1 million in terms of this? That's what this document would be helpful with, that, as opposed to not having it.
That makes sense. And also, I heard you say you have $1 million laying around, so good to know. just joking.
I wish.
What is the deal with the agreement over Wayside Park in Skanska? I guess to what oversee the repairs and a checklist to make sure that things are done properly. What is this item about?
Yeah, so this item is fairly procedural. This has nothing to do with a lawsuit or anything like that. This is $275,000 is what we negotiated, basically for the depreciation of their trucks on our parking lot throughout the process of building the bridge. So we had agreement with them previously that they could park their equipment down there and things like that. And so this is kind of bringing that to closure because we've got some repairs to do. So we had that negotiation with them after they handed it back to us. And, we had a sewer main issue down there going to the Pensacola building.
Got it.
So we've negotiated all that. And so, but really, this is just one piece into the greater conversation about Wayside itself, which is the shines by the graffiti bridge, the train trestle, the boat launch, and really the repair. I mean, Wayside is in disrepair at this point.
Which is still waiting on FEMA, right? Is that we're still waiting on FEMA to move on the Wayside Park stuff?
Technically, yes, but I would say I'm not. And what I mean is we're going to try to figure out, we're working with FDOT. We may have some potential Skanska settlement money or some other form that we're going to try to work with them. Because my argument to FDOT, which they understand, is, look, Wayside Park is our asset, but it also protects the largest asset to date that you have, that seawall, that and how that looks and how that fits in a storm when we have a seawall that's down.
Yeah.
If we were to have a hurricane, I mean, that's going to be greater impact to your $650 million investment next to it. So that's the value argument we're making with them, and they've been very receptive to that. So we're going to but my plan right now is to get the funding necessary to fix the seawall and do a complete rehaul of the boat launch, the new train trestle that we got negotiated with the train company, so you don't have to run under graffiti bridge or bike under graffiti bridge and run for your life, and then along Wayside Park going down to, of course, the foot of the fishing bridge, which, of course, is the county
right
at this point.
When it gets rebuilt. And just for people who might not remember, you correct me if I'm wrong, but when you're talking about the new train trestle stuff, you're talking about putting the walkway, the boardwalk, on the outside, on the water side, so that people can get around the bridge. It's not like we're widening the trestle itself, right? The aperture there.
That's correct.
Wanted to, people might hear you say that and they're like, oh, they're building a new train. No, not that. Anyway, we're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Not showing any problems. It looks like I've never taken a look by the bridge, not showing any issues, or by Wayside Park. Taking a look in Milton, Bell Lane, Sterling Way, Cyanamid Road, and Mulot all checking in clear. If you see an accident or a slowdown, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. All right, Mr. Mayor, I've got a question for you that everybody wants to know, and we're all scared to get an answer on. Pelican drop yay, Pelican drop nay?
That's a good question. We had a meeting. It was on my calendar, literally saying a what-if meeting for Pelican drop, and we invited, of course, everybody internally at the city that would have any role in a public works, sanitation, police, fire. Everybody there, several folks, also gracious to have the sheriff's department was there. And of course, and we also even had previous organizers of the Pelican drop that would have good perspective. And ultimately, really, we learned two things through this. It's really expensive and really hard to pull off. Those are the two takeaways if you were sitting in a meeting with us. And we're talking about north of a couple $100,000. And the reality is, even if we were all on board with that, or that money had magically appeared, by a sponsorship or something like that, the fact of the matter is these typically start getting organized in March, you know, with previous organizers. So to even attempt to do something, you know, starting at this point is really a non-starter. So I wouldn't say there's any decision that we would never do anything, but I would say for this New Year's Eve, we're not going to be having an event, at least unless someone else steps in privately or does, you know, something like that. But look, you also have to ask yourself, you know, and I've been on both sides of this. I've owned bars downtown during New Year's Eve. You have to ask yourself, what are you creating the event for? And I'll tell you, if it's for local business, they're busy either way. We are in this great position in the city of Pensacola that we weren't in 20 years ago, which is we don't need to do things necessarily to attract to have a vibrant downtown. You know, we don't need those same calling cards that we needed before to get people down here. So you have to ask yourself, who is the audience? You know, what are you doing? You know, a free event that would take that kind of expense, that kind of manpower on New Year's Eve, 50 police officers potentially. I mean, it's a difficult lift. And so, as I said, I love events like this. I still do. I think they can bring value to our place that we live in, but they got to make sense, and we got to be able to pull them off. And you know, between expense and time, I think it's really a no-go from the city quarterbacking this moving forward.
All right. Well, sad, but I always appreciate that you give an explanation. And sometimes adult decisions don't make everybody happy, but, you know, sometimes you have to make them, right? That's what it means to be an adult. So disappointing, but also, you know, I understand where you're coming from. We always like to end on the lightning round, which is quick questions. The first question, if you weren't running a brewery, weren't reporting on sports, weren't chief of staffing for Quint Studer, and weren't the mayor of Pensacola, what's your job? What's your thing that you'd always liked to do, wanted to do, but you don't do?
Oh, man. Well, I've lived a life where I've gotten to do some, especially sports writing, what I really grew up wanting to do. But before that, before I realized I wouldn't be tall enough, I wanted to be an NBA player. That's what I wanted to do. I mean, not even for the paycheck.
Yeah. You're closer to it than I am. So. in terms of watching things on screens, are you a TV, which of course, you know, can include, you know, cable or satellite or whatever, like you watch it on a you know, TV screen, basically. Do you stream things? Do you watch what they call user-generated content, TikTok, YouTube, things like that? What's your preference?
Yeah, no, I'm a YouTube TV. I stream cable. So stream cable on the TV. Screen's too small for me on the cell phone. So I try to do it on TV when I can.
I'm with you. I don't understand how people live videos off their phone, but maybe they have bigger phones than I do. I don't know, and I thought I had a pretty big one to begin with. When you buy a small appliance, like, say, a coffee maker or a blender or a can opener, how long do you keep that box?
Too long. When you have a garage, I'm like, just in case I return it. And then, you know, the TV box, that's another one that I used for a couple of years, even though it just ended up getting in the way.
Well, TV boxes at least can be useful for moving. Of course, we don't expect you to be moving anytime soon. People in radio maybe have that concern a little bit more than people who are sports reporters and mayors and bar
please
owners and things.
Move.
Yeah, please don't move. Mayor D.C. Reeves, always a pleasure to talk to you, sir. We'll look forward to the press conference today and then, of course, the city council meetings next week, sir. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, absolutely. When you pull your Pelican drop permit, just give me a call. We'll get it going for you.
I'll just be funding it out of my surplus radio host money. Thanks so much for the time, sir. 7:52 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Look, we've got a new advertiser on the show. It's ProHealth Florida, and you can find them at ProHealthFL.com. Very cool company. For more than 35 years, providing an alternative to insurance-based healthcare here in Pensacola. Female-owned, best of the Bay, best of the Coast, best of Pensacola, 7 locations, Santa Rosa Beach, Milton Crestview, Fort Walton, on Summit in Pensacola, on College behind the Sam's Club in Pensacola, and in Gulf Breeze next to the Whataburger. They do primary care and urgent care, walk-ins from 8 to 4 in Gulf Breeze, Pensacola, and Fort Walton, and then Saturdays 8 to 1 in Pensacola by Sam's Club. Lab work, occupational health screenings, comprehensive medical weight loss program, all of that. And then one of the key things is, as an alternative to having insurance. So if you don't have insurance or don't have good insurance, they have the ProHealth Medical Membership Plan. $45 a month, unlimited primary care visits, zero copay, teledoc services, annual physical flu shot, lab work 25% off. It's low to begin with at their place. Procedures 25% off, B12 shot, and no catches. So if any of that is of interest to you, stop by or check them out online at ProHealthFL.com.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, Pensacola Bay Oysters, and soon, the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Banakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Banakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Banakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Banakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Banakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Banakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
News Radio 92.3 reminds you that hurricane season is underway. Forecasters are predicting another above normal year for storms. And the Generator Guys are your local generator provider. Are you prepared? Don't be caught without power for days or even weeks. When the storm hits, you should be 1 week ready. And the News Radio 92.3 crew will be live and local with storm coverage on your radio, on your phone, and online. News Radio 92.3 and the Generator Guys are there for you.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Mary on Demand is live. Start your marijuana education journey today and learn more with Mary on Demand. Take the self-guided education series at your own pace. You'll decide what you'd like to learn and when. Visit mary.famu.edu to learn more. That's mmeri.famu.edu. Mary, educate, learn, talk.
The best local resource that happens to be entertaining. News Radio Pensacola is on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Some piece of work. You're some piece of work.
I'm some piece of work.
You're also a natural character.
I've been telling her that. You know, I got natural character.
No, that's not what I said, kid. I said you are a natural character. You're an incredible flake.
Hello, Armani.
Great reframe. I didn't say you have natural character. I said you are natural character. You're an incredible flake. So you go into that pool hall and guys will be falling over themselves to get at you. Go, go, go. 757 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local. Yeah, I played a lot of pool when I was a kid. A lot of pool. Like semi-professionally, a lot of pool. Larry Johnson. Ask Larry Johnson about that. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
I will. Gulf Beach Highway, and I'm not showing an accident, but it is backed up from about Navy Boulevard back past the Malibu this morning, and I'm not sure why. It looks very stop and go, so something's going on, but I'm not showing an accident. Certainly, if you know different or if you have a traffic tip, by all means, of course, text it in, 437-1620. Looks like the front gate of Pensacola NAS is not backed up, so it's not that. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, workers for Zoom, the company that made remote working mainstream over the last several years, are now being told to come back to the office.
This is the funniest dang story in the news. Yes. Zoom that made it possible to do remote work is now saying, our people have to come back to the office.
That's
hilarious.
Right. 7,400 workers that live within 50 miles are being told to go back to their desks at least twice a week now. The new corporate policy marks the end of their fully remote era.
In other news, Marlboro has gone non-smoking.
Yes, absolutely. It's been months, but there's a winner in the Mega Millions jackpot. One lucky Florida ticket purchased in Duval County. That's over around Jacksonville. Matched all the numbers last night. And it is a birthday for a national treasure today.
Remember, only you can prevent forest fires.
That's right, Smokey the Bear. You're a national treasure too, Candy.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. I thought he died years ago.
Oh,
that fake cartoon bear.
I thought that imaginary character passed away a long time ago.
I heard it when I said it.
Sorry, kids.
Well,
I didn't mean to.
He hasn't, and he's 79 today.
All right, there you go. Hopefully it's not smoking related or too many remote meetings. That's the thing that we all hope for.
Wow.
We'll be back in just a minute. Stick around.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3.